Hey guys, this is Steli Efti and Heaton Shah, the Startup Chat, another episode of our podcast.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Heaton, how's it going, my man?
Great. Can't complain. How about you?
Life is good. Life is beautiful. All right. So what do we want to talk about today, Heaton?
This one's very interesting. I get asked about this a lot. And what I'd like to talk about is basically co-founders and co-founder relationships, finding a co-founder, breaking up with a co-founder. I want to talk about that kind of stuff.
That's awesome. I love that topic. I love everything that is representing the human and emotional side of business.
Right? Of course you do. You're a sales guy.
Of course I do. All right. So let's talk about it. What do we have? Well, first, let's give people some background on this. I'll let you start, then I'll go. What has been your experience in terms of co-founder relationships? How many did you have? Have you been faithful? Just give us the background on like your journey with this.
Yeah, my journey is interesting and probably super unique. So I've known my current co-founder, who will be my co-founder on everything at this point, since he was 11 and I was 15. I started dating his sister. He's now my brother-in-law because I married his sister, and his name's Neil Patel. And we've known each other a very long time. Our story started when I got right out of college in 2003, and he actually was getting into college because he's 4 years younger. And he had a customer paying him $3,500 a month to do SEO. And by the time I got out of college, I didn't really need to do much for a while. But that's a whole different story. But so I basically, we talked and I'm like, hey, like, I think I know about business and, I don't know enough about SEO or anything yet, but I'll learn. So let's just turn this into a business. So we both collaborated and decided to turn it into a business. In some ways, the rest is just history for us. We've started, now we're on to the fourth company technically. And we probably tried at least 50, 60 different things, however you want to look at it. And right now we basically we're also 50-50 partners, in everything. And even some things that I do where he has very little involvement, we split and he does the same. Some stuff like I've made a lot of investments, with my personal money that he doesn't, share in. He's also made some, but most things, outside of like our houses and stuff like that are pretty much split. So that's been my experience with a co-founder. I have an amazing one and I really get along with him. But the truth is, when we first started working together back in 2003, so we share another human being. So my wife is his sister and my wife, and we also have some kids now. She was actually very helpful, I'd say, for the first literally up to 5 years. It's been 12 now, but up to the first 5 years, we definitely had communication issues just because we're very different people. In terms of how we think about the world and personalities, very complimentary though. And so I think she was very helpful actually, in making sure that, our words were translated pretty well. So that's my somewhat long-winded personal experience. I don't generally like talking about that because I don't think it's going to help anyone learn anything because mine was super unique, but that is my story because Steli, you asked.
Yeah. I agree with you that I don't think knowing that will help anybody necessarily, but I always believe that context is important, right? So people understanding where you're coming from when you give advice is going to be hopefully helpful. I'll make it short. So my co-founder is the little brother of, not really. I had a different relationship with my current co-founder. So I've been co-founders with my brothers. When I dropped out of school when I was 17, 18, I did a few businesses myself back in Europe, and fairly successfully. And then I tried to convince my brothers to experience entrepreneurship as a real option. They were both working for big industrial companies in Germany and thought that entrepreneurship is not for them, until I found a small enough idea that it didn't seem risky and got them involved. And we made a lot more money than we all three thought possible. So all of a sudden, those guys got really excited about entrepreneurship. And today they're full-time entrepreneurs that have been running businesses ever since. So I had the experience of co-founding, being a founder myself, single founder. I've co-founded a company with my brothers and ran it for a bunch of years before I sold my equity in that. And then when I sold everything I had to come to Silicon Valley to start my first business, I came as a single founder and tried to find a co-founder, a technical co-founder. That didn't go well. Then I just ran the business as a single founder that had a bunch of technical employees. That didn't go that well. And the company that I'm running today, Close.io, my two co-founders are both technical. And the relationship is interesting because one of them I've met the very first week I arrived in the US, and we became friends, and we were friends for 5 years before we started the company together. So we knew each other for a very long time. We established and, you know, worked and invested into a relationship and a friendship long before we both were at a point in time where we had the opportunity to think of starting something together. And so that was Anthony. And then my third co-founder, Thomas, I had known him for 2 years through a common friend of ours. He was like the best coder I've ever met. And I did a side project with him while running a different startup. And he was just such an incredible engineer. Like, he would get things done in 2 days that my other engineering team that were like four or five people, it would take them 2 or 3 months. That at some point, once I realized how amazingly talented he is, I just grabbed onto him and I was like, I will never let go of you ever in my life. That's it. You're forever part of my life. So we did a few side projects with him until the opportunity presented itself to involve him into this current company together with Anthony. But the other thing that's interesting, besides that we've known each other for a while, is that we are the most different characters you could ever imagine. We're so different in our upbringing, in, you know, the environment we grew up, our families are so different. Our characters are super different. Anthony, Thomas, and myself, very different characters, very different personalities. But we have an insanely beautiful relationship. And we can talk about why I think that is and what tips I have and the ups and downs. But that's kind of my background on and my experience with having co-founders.
Cool. Yeah. So where I want to take it from here is I'm going to introduce a theory I have.
Okay.
And then maybe we can discuss it.
Okay.
So I've coached a lot of people through co-founder relationships and helped them understand kind of how I think about it. And I came up with this framework. And actually, Steli and I just did it on a previous podcast, I think, or not even just did it. We actually used that. I can describe what we did in that framework for even starting this podcast. So that's actually what got me thinking about this topic on my end.
Nice.
So what we did was, or what the framework is for me after this many years of working with someone and even attempting to work with other people as well in a similar way, is basically, I would say that a co-founder relationship is very much like Batman and Robin, where there's, if you've watched the shows and the movies and you've seen the interaction between Batman and Robin, it is, they try to portray it as somewhat tenuous, which I think co-founder marriage, all those things, any relationship between two people tends to be like that, or can be like that. And so the way I like to say it is, like, basically on every important initiative or important thing or anything, somebody's Batman and somebody's Robin, and Robin is backup for Batman. Batman is the lead in charge doing it. And so, to give you an example, just from this podcast, I think what's interesting is Steli and I naturally kind of did this, and it was natural, but it was very, very interesting. Where I took care of the website that we have or we're going to have, and Steli took care of all the logistics around the podcast. But it kind of happened naturally, and one of us is Batman on that, and one of us is Robin, and they're two different projects, and that's kind of how we sort of got this done, even. And I noticed that in my life, even with like my co-founder Neil and I. So on things that are sales, marketing, and legal. Yes, legal. He likes that stuff. Those are all his problems. And when we had a massive lawsuit at Kissmetrics, I was running the business. He was dealing with that bullshit. And so it's kind of like, those are the things he loves. Those are the things he does. And he's Batman on most of those things. And I'm Batman on most product engineering and anything that has to do with people in the company. And that's like my thing. And he backs me up, and I also back him up. And sometimes, like a couple projects, he's actually been the product lead and just got it done because he's a lot faster than I am and stuff. I'm probably more thoughtful on some of these things. And so sometimes he's Batman on things that I normally would be. But there's a clear, like, hey, you're Batman kind of thing. And we don't say that, but like, it's just implied. And then it operates like that. Because the thing is, if you're trying to save the world or save somebody in distress, you're not going to have two Batmans. It's not going to work.
Yeah. Or a Batman and a Superman. I hear there's a movie coming out where they're going to be fighting each other.
Can't have two superheroes. Yeah, exactly.
Can't have two superheroes.
And I was just going to say, Superman's solo. He's a solo founder, so it could work.
Yeah. There you go. I like that framework. I think it's a beautiful, playful way of thinking about it. Another way of saying it is that you have to split responsibilities, and there's always somebody's going to be leading something, and the other person is going to be a support to the lead, right? Whatever you did on the website or I do on the other sides of the podcast, we still fill each other in, but it's towards the end going, hey, Heaton was just sending an email. Hey, I like it, but it's Stelly's face on this is on the website too, so he needs to give his green lights before we go on with it. Yeah. And right, so I can be the Robin in this and see if I have some comments or feedback, but I'm not leading it. I don't have to push it forward, and I don't have to make all decisions on it. Let's circle around this concept, because to me, at the heart of it is trust. Right? You can't. And there's a lot of things. Trust is such a big word. There's like, you know, do I believe you're competent? Is it, am I okay with my ego letting you run the show in some regards or not? There's a lot involved in this, but trust is really at the center. If I don't trust you, you can't be my Batman or my Robin for that matter, right? Yep. And this relationship can't work. How do you think about trust between co-founders? How do you work on trust? How do you develop that? How do you maintain it through all the highs and lows and all the difficult moments?
Yeah, I really like that. It's a really good question. I mean, I think trust is such a complicated thing. All my inclination is you just know it, you know, when you feel it, but like that's not right. So there's a lot of theories about trust. So one is like trust but verify. Right. So that's where you trust somebody and then you just verify whether, you know, you could have trusted them, so to speak.
Yeah.
Another one, which is interesting is the sort of set people up, so to speak, so that you can trust them. So that's kind of the opposite for me, which is like you set expectations up front.
Yeah.
Together, ideally, especially if it's a co-founder relationship, and you just make sure the expectations going in are clear. So if you just take the Batman and Robin theory and you just say, well, like, look, what are the things where like you care so much or you can do it better that you're going to do it, you know, and that's your thing. Right. And if you could just start identifying that, I think that's really powerful, you know, and it can come naturally, but it also could be something you need to discuss.
Yeah, I think that, there's two thoughts I have on this. Number one, and this is a question I get asked a lot. A lot of people that come from around the world and kind of migrate to Silicon Valley and don't have a co-founder yet come to me and go, Stelly, how can I find and build a team really quickly here? And I tell them, I'm going to give you a piece of advice I would have not have taken myself because I was in your situation. I thought I know better. But you can't usually, there's exceptions to everything, but it's not a wise decision to go, I want to find my co-founder next week, right? It's like saying, I'm going to go to this bar and find my future wife or husband right now. And then you chat with somebody and you kind of like them and you have a few drinks and you go, all right, are we ready yet? Do we want to get married? It can work, but chances are and odds are very much against you that this relationship is going to last.
Right.
It's much better if you can build relationship with lots of amazing people and maintain them and involve them and invest in them over years. And then when you start a company, you have this network of people that you like and have worked with and know really well to use to start things together. So one hack to do that is to just start at a company that's really amazing and really over-deliver there and work with people there and then find your future co-founders while working at a different startup. Right, instead of just starting your own company right away. But I don't want to stray too much because that's a podcast in itself, like how to get started and find a co-founder in the beginning. Coming back to the trust thing, but it plays to the trust sector. If you just met this person 2 weeks ago, it's going to be more work to make the relationship work. It's going to need a lot more than if you've known that person for 10 years. My one thing when it comes to building and maintaining trust is communication. You have to over-communicate. You have to really invest in the relationship. And one vehicle that we use at Close.io to do that is that we have, just like you do, you hear all these kind of married couples that have children that say you have to have date night and all that, right? You have to create space to be romantic together. Otherwise, the relationship is going to have a hard time to survive and thrive. The same thing applies to co-founder relationships. You have to romance your co-founders. So that's what we do. We go on a founder dinner almost every week. And we started that when we were just the three of us, which was kind of silly because we were together all day long anyways. But we said, we're going to make this a habit and we're going to maintain it. And as the team grows and we hire more and more people and we go through lots of ups and downs, once a week, we're going to go for dinner, just the three of us. And here's the structure of the dinner. We sit down, we go to a nice place, right? Change of scenery and environment. We sit down and usually what we do is we shoot the shit for a little bit. And then we start off by going, all right, how's everyone feeling? How do you feel? How's life? You know, how's your relationship? Are you stressed? Does anything suck right now? Are you really depressed about the business? Are you really excited about anything? Just, you, I want to highlight, we talk about the emotional side of things. Not what do you think? How do you feel? How do you feel? How's life right now? And we kind of air it out. We kind of allow each other to open up and share with the other two co-founders how you feel, because getting that context is really important to understanding the other person and going, if you have all these problems at home right now, I kind of get why you've been an asshole for me the last 2 weeks at work, right? Or I kind of understand why you made these decisions in the business. So it kind of gives you context. Also, the question I always ask at every dinner that we're together is, did I do anything to piss you off? Have I disappointed any one of you in the last week? Have I done anything that just slightly annoyed you? Nothing is too small to bring up. Because I've learned that these small things, when somebody does something to you and you don't like it, or it pisses you off, or you're disappointed or angry at another human being, even if it's small and a few days later you're like, it doesn't matter, it kind of solved itself. I'm not thinking about it anymore. These small things accumulate and become massive, insurmountable problems. So we try to air out the small things when they're tiny, so they don't build momentum and grow into really large things. And that kind of weekly dinner where we talk about our emotions, where we're honest with each other and sharing how we feel about each other, if anybody annoyed anyone or pissed anyone off, these dinners have been crucial to both the trust that we've developed over now working together for 4 years on this company, but also to maintain a certain quality of life. Not going to work hating your co-founders makes a big difference, makes life a lot easier, a lot better. So that's kind of one big way of how I think about trust and how we've been able to maintain and develop it.
I like it. That's really good, especially when you don't know the other person that well.
Yeah. The other thing, you know, one thing that I've learned from my co-founders that I want to bring up is it's not forgiveness, it's acceptance, right? So here's the thing. I have been a very judgmental person probably my entire life. I said, I'm very judgmental with myself and very self-critical. I'm always never happy with myself. And I'm very, very judgmental with other people. I always thought that, no, I just have high standards. I'm not judgmental, but I'm a judgmental asshole. Like, I think really critical of everyone, right? I try to be nice to people, but I think very critically of them. And, you know, one thing, I had an aha moment with my co-founders once where for a certain period of time, I was critical of certain things my two co-founders did because they're both so opposite of me in their personality that they're doing things that used to piss me off to no extent. Like, I could not understand how they could act that way, right? And I was like furious with them and at them. And we constantly had founder dinners where I was like telling them how pissed off I am about them about something. And I also know that I did things that are so opposite to the way they think that I thought, how are they not pissed at me? And they were very much accepting of me. And then one day it dawned on me and I was like, you know what? You know why they don't have that many things to criticize me? They accept me with all my good and bad sides. They're just like, yeah, that's who you are. I mean, you're different than me, but I kind of, that's who you are. I'm not even thinking about it. And that's the moment where I realized they are much better people than me. Like, they accepted me with all my flaws while I'm trying to change them and make them like me. And that's the moment where I accepted them. And I was like, no, if they can accept me